T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What do you think they like about him?
Well, one thing that's interesting to me about Ryan Poles is that he's been in Kansas City for a long time, but he's worked with different general managers. And that's not an easy thing in this business, because a lot of times GMs come in and start over with a whole new scouting staff. So when he first got there with Scott Pioli, worked under John Dorsey, now he works under Brett Veach. So those are three different GM philosophies, and all three of those guys came from different spots. So, it's not like, Ryan Pace was at New Orleans for the entire time, and I believe most of that, if not all, was with Mickey Loomis. So here's somebody who, same team, same organization, a winning organization. Organizations had a ton of success, obviously. So he's seen it, and he's seen it through the eyes of different general manager philosophy. So I kind of like that. I'm not sure how much of the playing background is important here, but I imagine that it's just he knows what it takes to be a part of a franchise that can win and that can be a consistent playoff contender. Now, Ryan Poles is not the one who found Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the number one reason for a lot of their success, but you can go before him. You can talk about Andy Reid. You can talk about Alex Smith. You can talk about some of the guys who have been there during Poles' time there. He's just seen lots of different ways to build a team to be a consistent winner.
If you want to check out Kevin Fishbane on Twitch, you should. He's wearing his hat with an A on it for athletic, I presume, and he's got his whole setup behind him. You can tell he went to Northwestern, and he's a Cubs fan, and he likes bobbleheads, and I don't know exactly what everything else represents, but you can draw your own conclusions, and that is twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. So if, in fact, the other track is to be believed, when we start hearing about Caldwell, Eberflus, and now Dan Quinn and his name out there, is there any connection with Ryan Poles that would favor one of those names over any other?
Well, if we're going to play connect the dots here, Dan Quinn coached Matt Ryan, who was Ryan Poles' roommate in college. And, that's the guy he blocked for when he was at Boston College. So Ryan Poles could certainly get a lot of information on Dan Quinn from his buddy Matt Ryan. So that to me is the first. I mean, I don't know how strong that is in terms of hiring a guy to be a head coach, but he would have a pretty good source in terms of learning about what Quinn is like as a head coach. I haven't gone through, I'm sure Ryan Poles has been with other people at Kansas City who have worked in other places, maybe with Caldwell, maybe with Eberflus. I haven't gone through the whole web. But that was the first thing I thought of with Dan Quinn, which is kind of an interesting one. It's kind of the easy connection there. So, which is maybe that's why the Dan Quinn name is picking up steam. I kind of thought that Quinn would be the guy in Denver. I think Bears fans have to consider that possibility pretty seriously, that he would be an option, certainly if Ryan Poles is the GM.
I have feelings just because of how fantastically poorly his coached teams, when he was the head coach, just imploded. Whether it was at the end of games, like we saw after their 0-5 start to the season, or the 28-3, for example, I don't question his acumen of assistant coaches and his hiring, perhaps, of everybody except DC. But there's a consistent flaw there that worries me a little bit. Here we are living and dying on every play in the playoffs and saying, like, if there's an incomplete pass, you don't want Brian Daboll. If there's a bad blitz call, you don't want Todd Bowles. But there is a pattern there with Quinn that gives me a little bit of concern, even though he is so well liked.
Yeah, it's fair, Leila. And I think the only, if you're going to try to spin that, you hope that, okay, second time around. right? You know, he's, you know, the idea, and I think that'd be a question for him at any head coach press conference that he does, whoever hires him, is what have you learned? You know, what's going to be different this time around from some of the mistakes that happened when he was in Atlanta? And look, we were watching a game on Sunday night. And we all know that for a long time, Andy Reid was not known for his clock management. I mean, that was kind of a punchline around the league. And certainly that has changed over the years with him. And again, I don't want to necessarily compare Quinn to one of the best coaches in the game. But the idea that if you're going to hope for something, you hope that because he's had that experience and he's seen the failures that happened in Atlanta, that there are things that he can correct. Now, it's easier said than done. We just lived through 3 years of a head coach that didn't seem to necessarily learn from some of the failures he made. And we've seen that all around sports, where guys get ingrained in certain things and they just aren't able to fix it. But if you're looking for something, maybe that's it. And the other thing, too, about someone like Dan Quinn, someone I was talking to yesterday about Quinn was telling me, you know, he's the type of guy that you can feel confident is going to build a good staff. And that's so important for any of these head coach candidates. And that was something this person mentioned to me specifically about Quinn, is that they feel like he's going to bring in good coordinators just because of his connections around the league. He's been in the NFL since 2001. And just from his time in Atlanta, maybe from his time in Dallas, someone that just, and it's obvious, right? Any head coach, they know they have to put together a good staff, hire good coordinators, but maybe someone like Dan Quinn, who's done it before, maybe even Jim Caldwell, I put him in that category too, as someone that just would know the right way to compose your staff from coordinators on down.
I would love to know the answers to some of the questions that I hope they're asking. And I guess I would presume that they're asking about how a defensive coach, and I'm using Quinn here as just sort of the proxy for this, because that's just the name that we have, but whether it's Brian Flores or somebody else, to say, do you have a preferred offensive philosophy that you think applies to Justin Fields? And if that's the case, what does that do to the way you assemble your staff when you are outsourcing a side of the ball? And I don't think it's inherently good or bad. I'm not judging the idea of it, but the idea of it being unified when it comes to your roster. When it comes to, you know how they say, like a team that runs a 3-4, because there's more linebackers, you might be better off on special teams because your extra guys on the roster might be more mobile than a team that runs a 4-3 when you've got bigger, slower guys. You know, little things like this start to matter around the edges. And after people start getting hurt in the middle of a year, that roster construction of how the vision of putting that together when you're dealing with these bifurcated tracks is a huge question in my mind.
Yeah, and it has to be the question when you're bringing a defensive head coach in the year 2022, because you know the thing that we've seen so often is if an offensive coordinator in that situation does a really good job at the quarterback, he's gone.
Yes.
And then you have to continue to recycle that. You know, look, Lovie Smith was a defensive coach, and we all knew he had a pretty what his offensive philosophy was. You know, John Fox, same way. You know, you can certainly disagree about what those offensive philosophies were, but it's important to have that, even if you're a defensive guy. And I think, again, I don't want to say connecting dots here, because I'm kind of grasping for things. Let's use another cliche. I'm grasping for straws here with Dan Quinn, who's the example of the day. He was in Seattle with Russell Wilson. Like, he saw the way that offense flourished. And, you know, I'm not saying Justin Fields is Russell Wilson, but certainly it doesn't, not a huge stretch to make some comparisons. It's a potential ceiling for the guy. So maybe he can pull from that and say, I saw what Seattle did with Russell Wilson early in his career. You can look at what he, you know, at Atlanta, you know, Matt Ryan with Dak Prescott this year in Dallas, some of the things Kellen Moore was doing. So you would like to think that a coach like Dan Quinn is going to pull from those different things, bring in an offense coordinator who's and their visions align. Because we also saw that, we've seen that in Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. Where Mike Zimmer was bringing offensive coordinators they wanted to do one thing and he wanted something else for his team, and they had to keep recycling guys. You don't want to go through that in any direction. So, yeah, Dan, I think that's a very important question for
Lovie
him to
Smith
ask.
Did it. Lovie yeah. Smith couldn't. Nobody wanted to come here until Mike Martz, like, okay, fine. And they ended up doing okay, almost against what they thought was going to happen. We've seen it firsthand here, the difficulty of getting that match right.
Yeah, it's so, I mean, that's going to be, if it's Quinn, if it's Eberflus, if it's Flores, that's the first question. Who's your offensive coordinator? Who's going to be calling plays and in charge of developing Justin Fields? It's going to be the most important hire for the head coach. It's more important than any other hire after GM and head coach if it's a defensive guy. And, you know, and look, if they hire an offensive guy, we'd be wanting to know who the defensive coordinator is and what that philosophy is going to be. But this is so important. Like, you have to get that right, because then you're just going to get stuck, as we said, in this cycle of, and that's going to hurt Justin Fields. And then you're kind of starting over again at quarterback, which is what's been, you know, the Bears' endless problem for so many decades.
As you've seen this list get whittled down, what are some of impressions of maybe there's a pattern you're seeing emerge, or at least some sort of a person's stamp on this? I think we all know at this point Bill Polian's running things, so it's just a matter of his preference, I think.
Yeah, I think you're on that, Layla. I from what I've heard, it's, you know, it's Bill Polian's show, and you can have whatever opinion you want on that, but he's pretty much, and you know, the irony too is we're probably not going to be allowed to talk to him about it. And he's not necessarily held accountable. He's not going to be part of the organization after this, but that's just the way these things go. So, yeah, I think my takeaway is it's been a search that has not been pigeonholed, right? If you look at, like, if we're going to assume Eberflus, Quinn, and Caldwell are three finalists, quote unquote, right? Like, those are three completely different coaches in terms of experience, in terms of style, in terms of what they want to do. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's, you know, as opposed to the last time when it was, you know, we got to find that next Sean McVay, right? So I liked it, the fact that it seems a little bit more flexible. But to me, as I said earlier, it comes down to the GM. Like, the GM should make this hire. Because unless you're in a situation where some head coach just blows you away and you want that head coach to have a certain role in personnel, you know, and that guy would have been Jim Harbaugh, right? Like, that's the guy that would have been the type of head coach you hire first, and then you go from there. And it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Or Sean Payton or Pete Carroll, one of those guys. So now it's like, all right, you have these different options for head coach. That's nice, but it's got to be whoever the GM. He's got to really be allowed to take charge, allowed to have that opportunity to really make his stamp on this, because this is going to be the most important hire we make. We saw what happened. You know, when a GM picks a head coach who ends up not being the head coach, the right head coach a few years later, you're starting all over.
Would it be possible to have more than one choice? And I'm just thinking about ranges of possibilities here. That, let's just say they hired Dan Quinn. Could they get Jim Caldwell to be assistant head coach and offensive coordinator? I mean, is there a way to get everything you want?
I think so. I think that's a great idea, Dan. You know, that pairing. Because, you know, it's not like some of the other guys. It's not like you can hire Dan Quinn, who's going to, you know, snatch Nathaniel Hackett from Green Bay. Like, he's got the job. Caldwell is clearly wants to get back in the league. So I think that's something that they should consider. You could even look at that at the personnel level.
That's what I mean.
Right? Like, you know, if you're going to hire, you know, we'll stick with the Ryan Poles, because he's, again, the name of the day. If he's going to be your GM, can he get one of these other guys a promotion from where they are now and give them some kind of high role? You know, because he's going to, that's the other important hire for the GM, is going to be the directors of player personnel, director of college scouting.
See, I'd start in the other direction. See, for me, Ryan Poles is the latter and not the former. When you tell me that it's Kwezi Adofo-Mensah or Omar Khan, who has much more of an executive resume, an executive experience, instead of a scout's experience, then you have the next guy be your scout. And if he wants to not be in the building, and if he wants to be, I got to see the player, I got to go find players, I got to hit the road, I got my places I got to be, that's fine. Get them both. Get them all. Get Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that plan. You know, I like the idea of giving, because I also think, and my colleague John Greenberg wrote this, is the idea of giving your GM a VP title to really make it clear that guy is overseeing everything. You know, have him have, you know, or just be president. If you're president of football opera, that should be the title. So he's in line with Ted Phillips. So I think that would be intriguing. You know, what the Bears have done over the years is they've made the scout GM, whether it was Phil Emery or Ryan Pace, the you know, de facto president of football operations, and then the person below them has been the salary cap guy. For Ryan Pace, that was Joey Lane. For so many years, it was Cliff Stein, who's still in the organization. So it just depends on, I guess, what their confidence level is in whoever they pick in GM to be able to kind of oversee things and what, you know, because some of these guys are not going to want to, like, someone like Ryan Poles probably wants to be the GM. He wants to be the boss. So that could be an interesting way. I think if they're going to do that, they'd probably have to hire Omar Khan first and then go down from there if he's going to be your president of football operations, which, again, I think would be a perfectly fine plan and maybe something this team has needed over the years.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.